Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Our scripture this morning comes at the end of a book that is 34 chapters long. It actually comes from a series of books, being a little bit later in that series. So I'm going to fill you in briefly on how we got to this moment, which began at in the beginning, when the world was a dark void covered in water. This image from Genesis certainly personifies what ancient wisdom keepers personified as chaos, which precedes creation. No land, no laws, no days or nights. In the beginning was disorder. In the beginning was chaos. And then came a word. A word brightened the horizon for the first time with a warm and inviting glow of light. A word raised the land above the waters, layered it with rich soil, the perfect bed for seeds to grow. And it was a word that created, a word that sprouted life, breathed life into being. It was, and is, and ever shall be this word that supports and heals, guides, and sustains life. From chaos came a word that gave life. And it was good. However, that chaos and disorder became a pattern that would appear in the next book of the series. From Genesis, we go to Exodus, when God's people find themselves again in this dark void, enslaved to serve Egypt and Pharaoh's wants and Pharaoh's desires to build him an empire to the detriment of their wholeness and their flourishing. And so the Israelites, they cry out. Together, they cry out against injustice. They cry out against their condition made worse by those in power. They cry out to their God for a word, any word that would save, heal, or guide, or sustain their lives. And God hears their cry and sets fire to a bush beside a dirt road in the wilderness, catching the attention of a man named Moses. Not a perfect human being here. Moses is a murderer on the run. However, God knows his heart is open and ready and willing to receive this good word. The word given to him to share is a word of liberation and salvation, to free those who at the moment had their backs pushed up against the wall. They shared and they listened to this word, "Let my people go." And as we know from that came many series of plagues. Gnats, frogs, flies, boils. God's word exhausts all peaceful approaches to God's to free God's suffering people. And so on the far banks of the Red Sea, the Israelites look back and they watch as horse and rider are swallowed not just by the waters of the sea, but by the chaos of Egypt and Pharaoh's own creation. Guided by Moses and the word he receives from the mountain, they brave a new chapter, a wilderness that stretches between them and this promised land. And they awake each morning to find just enough food, just enough to drink, just enough in their bank account to get by. And the Israelites, if you've read through that whole story, teeter on gratefulness and rebellion. On one hand, they're grateful that they're just making it. And on the other hand, it's like eating ramen noodle soup every single day for every meal. It's nice to have something to eat, but wouldn't it be nice to have something with more substance, maybe a feast to enjoy with others? And so in the wilderness, they wander in terms of geography, but they also wander in terms of spirit, creating idols, a golden calf, acting selfishly as stiff-necked people, criticizing Moses and the word that gave life. And up until now, they have only been just hanging on. It's worth remembering that Moses, who at the time of the burning bush was 80 years old, and who has been walking in the wilderness for another 40 years there. Now again, much like dog years, these are biblical years, but it's to say that Moses is nearing the end of his journey with the people. He will not be with them as they step into this new chapter, an uncertain chapter. And so you can sense this panic among the people, fearing about another moment of chaos that's on the horizon. And without Moses, how will they make it through that period? How will they remain tethered to God if Moses is not gripping that rope? What are they supposed to do? Without Moses bringing the word that leads to life, what will become of them? And I think the same is true for us. When those who guide us, who point us in the right direction, are no longer with us. Beloved family member, a friend or a teacher, someone that kept us grounded. And now that they are gone, it feels as if that ground has dropped out from beneath our feet. It can feel like our compass doesn't point to true north anymore. However, more than just a person, Moses was a strong and compassionate leader in the community. And so it is for us as we search for a leader, any leader with a word that creates conditions for life and for wholeness to grow. Once a quarter, I join 211's Hunger Coalition meeting. And I always look forward to these meetings because these are a bunch of leaders of local food pantries, shelters, furniture banks, organizations like Lutheran Senior Services and Community Action, and filled with compassion and a sense of what is right and good, I'm often lifted by the ways that they understand the needs of those in the community and this zeal that they have for caring for everyone and anyone in need. One program that I've really come to appreciate is a program entitled Cooking Matters. It's a multi-week class designed to help families with lower incomes to learn how to prepare meals with fresh ingredients, along with step-by-step instructions and a safe and welcoming environment. The program offers food for the class, and if a person attends all those classes, they are given a brand new set of pots and pans that they can take home with them to begin cooking fresh at home. Sitting on this committee, hearing about programs like Cooking Matters, I've really had the privilege to witness God's word, God's life-giving word, working through others, which continues to support and sustain life right here in our own community. However, this week, as we gathered, we were all reminded that in this moment, how the programs that give life, I would say the ways God offers life, are threatened or eliminated. We are informed during our meeting that because this class, Cooking Matters, is funded through SNAP, because the recent federal budget cuts, many programs like SNAP that help vulnerable people are also cut or eliminated. And so this program that had given so much life to people is gone. We are living in a time of immense change. when the greed and egos of an astronomical proportion are exasperating human suffering on a global scale, when the word of God can feel far and faint, and I would say is actively being silenced. Money taken to help the poor, given to military to imprison immigrants, eliminating disaster response to those suffering who have been left with no homes from floods, allowing disease to spread, even though medicine and vaccines may increase the quality of life. What we are seeing is chaos, and Moses is not in charge. In Scripture, Moses is leaving, and the people immediately begin asking, who will go up to the heaven and get it for us so we can hear this word? Who will cross over the ocean and get it so that we may hear it and do it? And they begin by outsourcing this word, right? And if we're honest, we might do the same thing in our own lives. If I can just read this book or listen to this podcast or subscribe to the right newsletter or watch this news program, I will get this word that I need for this moment. However, how many times have you done that and discover it's not working the best? In fact, sometimes you might be more anxious and worried. And I'm going to raise my hand on that one. I am guilty of that. And so Moses leaves them with one final word, but perhaps it is the best word he could have offered them. He says, if you return to God with all your heart and with all your being, if you fully trust God and let go of control and fear, you will discover that the word that nurtures and grows is already in your mouth and in your heart. The word is already within us, just waiting to be listened to, waiting for us to be silent, waiting for us to be calm and to choose it. The Israelites don't need Moses. And God certainly uses others, but you have been created to be a sanctuary for God's word, which is why Moses can so brazenly say that this commandment is not difficult for you and certainly not unreachable. But Moses is adamant that when we choose it, we must be willing to stand in this moment and in our lives and say yes, and decide to turn inward to the indwelling presence of God with our whole being. You may recall that there were legal experts that asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? And if you remember that part in the gospel, the legal expert wants to trap Jesus, to spin whichever of the 613 commandments as less or than any other, and so arguing with Jesus in front of others. But Jesus responds in a word that still rings true today. You must love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. Why? That is where God dwells. That is where God dwells within each of us. And so no matter what challenge or crisis we face in life, no matter who is president or leader in your life, God dwells within us. And when we listen to that word, Jesus says, or when we love God, it will lead us to love our neighbor. And we often miss this, that loving God leads to loving your neighbor, but it also leads to loving ourselves. First, we must love God with our whole being. Howard Thurman, the great mystic and spiritual mentor to Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., admits that it is easy to forget this simple part of our faith. In his book, Meditations of the Heart, he writes this: God is near to all who call upon God. He admits, often I forget what the true source of my life is. The urgencies of the daily routine, the many anxieties that sweep over life like the tides of the sea, the biting necessities which make us so much of a living, a ceaseless struggle, the private pains which make us up the great hurts in human experiences, the stifled hopes and gutted dreams that lie like bleached bones along the path. All these and much more put out of mind the solid assurance that nourishes life. And so he says, this day I must remember that God is near and choose to call out, and God will answer me with a word. Since the beginning, there has been, is, and ever shall be a word that creates, nurtures, and sustains life. And from chaos came this word that gave life. And that word is good. And that word lives inside of you. Never forget that. Amen. Amen.